as a partner, what a partner of J. Abley Ministries is just somebody who commits to, joining their faith with this ministry, this segment of our ministry, and really to take the faith projects that we have on our heart, things that we have on our heart, and pray with us about them, agree with us about them, and believe God as a because how many of you are two better than one and three's better than two, and yeah. You know, it's just the more that we can join together in faith and unity, I believe the more we can accomplish together than we ever could on our own. And so so that's the first thing, commit to agreeing with us in faith about some of these things we'll be sharing tonight, and then also just praying with us, praying out in the Spirit, praying things out with us, but then also sowing a monthly seed into supporting it, because that's a big part of partnership as well. So anyway, we're going to get into a little bit about just sharing what God's been saying to us, and then we're going to do a little teaching on partnership and just build our faith, and then we're just going to be sharing some of the things that's on our heart. I think Pastor Debbie and I, God's been dealing with us to pray regularly for our partners, because it's important that, that it be a two-way street. And so we're doing that a lot more. We've got a prayer group especially taking you as an assignment to pray with you and for you. And because there's certain things, and we'll get into this as we look at some things in the Word tonight, there's certain things that a ministry partner has a right to as far as spiritual things and rewards. And so that's we'll get into some of that also as well. But as we've prayed and sought God, it's the Lord's making it clear it's time for us to begin to go on the road more. That doesn't mean full-time right as of yet, but go on the road more. We have it in our heart to just set our faith on once a month, one door a month open for us to get out and travel. We've had January and February and March so far this month, and we've had a meeting. I'm counting Bible school as well in California. And so that's been the case pretty regularly. Sometimes December not, because, you know, a lot of people focused on Christmas and stuff. But that's been a pretty regular thing. And we're just believing God for that to pick up right now. We've got another invitation. I don't know if it's going to be in April. They said they thought about April, but they weren't sure. So we want to just kind of tell you what God's dealing with us to do when we're out there, because I don't believe in just going out and doing something. I believe you ought to know what you're to do. I mean, what's your assignment? Are you just going out there to, you know, do what you do here? I mean, it's not a pastoral ministry on the road, so what are we supposed to do? And that has to do with what message are we to emphasize, and then what ministry anointing are we to carry? So we must take the message and the ministry anointing. And so the message is becoming clearer and clearer what we're to emphasize. You know, the message is really the whole gospel, really. But you can't just, I mean, God gives road ministers, I'll say it this way, He gives them, they become more specialists than they are. Like a pastor is more of a general practitioner kind of thing. I mean, pastor's got to cover everything from raising kids to, you know, family life and, you know, sex and faith and the authority of the believer and all that. Some of it's fun, some's not. Amen. That's I say that with fun and in love. I'm just saying, anyway. So, but a traveling minister's got to have, he's got more. Oftentimes, he's got more of an assignment on one particular theme or one particular message, and also one particular, you know, ministry anointing. What's he carrying? And you know as well as we do that we have a healing anointing, and that's got to be part of it. But as far as the message goes, what we're more and more getting clear is we're to emphasize the spirit of faith, is building up the body of Christ in the spirit of faith, and strengthening them in that. And because the Lord said to me, and He's talked to me about this a couple of times. One time was the Brother Hagin's funeral. I'm sitting there in the memorial service, and a lot of, you know, things happened on the platform. But I remember distinctly at one point the Spirit of God spoke to me. I didn't know he had spoken to Dr. Dufresne. Dr. Dufresne was in that same service. But he spoke to me a little differently than Dr. Dufresne. Dr. Dufresne, he said, an era has come to an end and a new era has begun. And this era is regarding the move of the Word and the Spirit combined. We haven't seen that come into fullness yet compared to what we will see. I mean, we haven't seen the fullness of it yet. And he's spoken to me about similar things. Whenever Dr. Dufresne went to heaven, I'll get back to Brother Hagin's memorial service, but when Dr. Dufresne went to heaven, the Lord spoke to me again about something that he referred to in Brother Hagin's memorial service, and he said, I want you to lead out. The Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to lead out in the spirit of faith. Because he said, I told you at Brother Hagin's memorial service, he said, and he did, he told me this at Brother Hagin's memorial service, he said, I said that the keep on preaching faith. He said, because the day will come. Now listen to this. This is amazing. Actually, we're starting to see it a little bit. He said, the day will come when the message of faith will almost be like a new message. And he said, even among those who call themselves Word of Faith. And so he said, keep on preaching faith. Keep on teaching faith. But Brother Dufresne's memorial service, he said to me, he reminded me what he said to me about Brother Hagin's memorial service. And then he said to me in Dr. Dufresne's memorial, not at the service, but when in a prayer time afterwards, he said, I want you to lead out in the spirit of faith. Now, I wouldn't have said it that way if he hadn't have said it that way. But that's the way he said it. I want you to lead out in the spirit of faith, in the message of the spirit of faith. And he said, particularly regarding the move of the Spirit. Because he said to me, he said, many have, they have faith in the Word, but not, they have lost faith in the move of the Spirit. Faith to yield to the Spirit. And they have sort of like a dead faith when it comes to the move of the Spirit. It's passive, waiting on God to do something. Whenever he said, I need somebody to lead out and talk about stepping on into the Spirit and moving with the Spirit. And I need somebody to demonstrate that. Now, I'm not the only one. I'm not that stupid. You understand that? Amen. I mean, people can take things wrong, so I got to clarify that. But he said, I want you to lead out in the spirit of faith concerning the move of the Spirit. Amen. And in more recent times, he's been talking to me about that even more. He said, I want you to lead out in the kind of faith, the spirit of faith that brings them into encounters with God. And he said, I want you, and then another time he said to me, and he keeps talking to me about the message of faith. He said, I want you to make my people skillful in faith. Amen. And those are some of the things he said. Now, that's not everything he said, but that kind of gives you, those about four times there where he's spoken specifically, you can see where he's going here. Yes, there's two main messages that I have on my heart. Pastor Debbie has healing real strong on her heart. And that's been a part of this ministry since the beginning, since 1990. He said to me back in August 15th of 1990, I don't know if you remember or not, but that was a Wednesday. I've told you about how we came home, we were house sitting for some people, and she was playing the piano, and I got down between the coffee table and the couch, just sat on the floor, just praying, worshiping God while she's playing piano. And the Spirit of God said to me, I've given to you a ministry of healing. And then that healing anointing came in our hands. God's given Pastor Debbie now a healing anointing. Well, that's always going to be a part of our ministry. You've seen that here. The healing ministry, and that's going to always be a part of that. So that's part of the ministry that we have on the road. But he's talked to me about the message that we're to preach and the ministry. And the message has to do kind of a twofold, I don't know. It's very difficult to put it into small categories, but the message has to do with the, thank you, Lord, that has to do with the spirit of faith. And then life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. And that just simply means using our faith, having a spirit of faith to get over into the Spirit and move with the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what's going to usher in the last day end time, the revival. That has to do with the ministry of angels. It has to do with flowing in the Spirit and the anointing to heal, healing the sick. It has to do with the prophet's office. It has to do with a lot of different aspects of that. It has to do with the revelation gifts, the power gifts. I mean, when you get into the Spirit, everything that the Holy Ghost does is up for grabs in that service. I mean, here we go, you know. What's going to happen? I don't know, but here we go. And so the Lord's just been dealing with me that the body of Christ is turning mental again. You know, he said, I need demonstrations. And he said, that's part of what the prophet's office is. It's a demonstration office. And I need you to demonstrate the move of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, I'm surprised sometimes you get out there in some of these places and you start moving in the Spirit and they start looking at you like, well, I'm thinking, I mean, this has been demonstrated in the previous era here. Now, let's not lose ground here, you know. So, anyway, so that's just a bit of a synopsis. I can't put everything into 10 minutes, you know, just explaining. There's a lot of facets to that. But all of it basically leads back to a victorious Christian life through walking in faith and living in the Spirit and moving with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And so that's what God's telling us to do when we get out on the road, emphasize some of those things. we're gonna look at some of this tonight and just, just really sort of get us all on one page. I'm going to be sharing more tonight. Maybe in other partner meetings we'll do more praying, more reporting or something of that nature. But we've got to carry both the message and the mandate. We have a message and a mandate. And the mandate on our lives has always been, all the ministry friends that we, get to know and everything, they all see it. And I've had some of them talk to me about it, that the mandate on our lives is beyond the local church. I mean, it's not just the local church is what I'm trying to say. We're pastoring, but it goes beyond the local church. Amen. And so there's a couple of things that we have been contending for in prayer, and we're going to ask you to contend with us for it, if that's all right. Now, basically, if I could do this, I'll just go through some of these things we're contending for and let you kind of write them down. Of course, the first one is a natural thing, and I'm going to spend all the rest of the time on just spiritual things because that's really where we are and what we're contending for. The natural things are just a necessary part of this, but we're contending and believing God for gem partners for $5,000 a month. Giving a $5,000 a month income just from Gem Partners. And so that's in order to help get some of the expenses that are on the church. The church is taking a lot of the expenses right now. A lot of traveling ministries, if you analyze traveling ministry, a lot of times the offerings that they get when they go to the church, they don't really, they might cover the expenses. Sometimes the churches will pay for expenses. Some of them don't. So the offerings might cover the expenses or some of the expenses. And then there might be something left over, publish a book or something like that. Well, what Gem Partners do is they help cover, underwrite all those expenses, so to speak, so that the extra can be for like publishing books or doing things of that nature, whatever kind of vision the ministry has been given. But so that's what the church has been sort of taking the expenses of a lot of these traveling meetings. And so I told the church, you heard me, that we're believing God for partners to be raised up to kind of underwrite that so we can do some other things. And so we're setting up all the tracking. It takes a lot of accounting, you can understand, tracking everything and getting expenses separated and everything, and that's all been in the works. So the thing I want to talk to you more about, though, tonight is something in April of 2018. Brother Noel Ramos was here ministering, he and Pastor Ruby. Actually, I think Pastor Ruby brought him. We invited her, and I think... I just rib him about that, but... Because one of the first times we were together, we were down in, we didn't know him very well. We were down in Mexico with Dr. Dufresne. And Dr. Dufresne had each of us kind of preaching a little bit in one of the sessions. And she got up. Now, I had known she's a sweet, quiet lady, you know. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't know her very well. And she got up and she exploded. I mean, she. And I'm like, afterwards, I felt like saying, can I carry your purse? Can I, you know. So we invite her to come preach, and then if Dr. Noel wants to come along, we invite him too. Got to keep the ladies happy, you know. But anyway, but he got to ministering to me in that, I'm talking about April 2018 now, when he and his wife were here. He got to ministering to me about the phases of ministry, and you might remember some of that. And I got to praying about it and talking to the Lord about some of what he was, ministering to me. And the Lord spoke to me. This is in April 2019. He said, you've succeeded in phase two. Well, that sort of got, that jolted me. Because, well, that's pretty final. I mean, when I heard that, you've succeeded in phase two, I started thinking about that, and I thought, well, if you've succeeded, you haven't succeeded at something if you're not done. Does that make any sense? You know, and then I said, okay, well, what's phase three? And then he said, well, and this is what shocked me. I still don't know quite for sure why he said it the way he said it. But he said, the aircraft's in phase three. Amen. And then he said, and it's where fullness starts coming. Amen. And we haven't shared that part much, but fullness is really what originally God's plan whenever he called us. So, during the, that happened in April of 2018, that the Lord spoke that you succeeded in phase two. Well, in order to understand that, I have to take you back to, I believe it was April, I think I got the date up here, of 2010. Yeah, to April 2010, Dr. Dufresne was here and Pastor Nancy had a conference here, minister's conference here. And Dr. Dufresne ministered to me. I've still got the video. I think you can watch it on YouTube, Facebook. You can watch it. He came over here and he ministered to me. And he kept going. He's standing right here like this. And he kept saying, another phase. He kept hitting me in the belly. And then he said, 1-2, 1-2. You've been in room one, in one, two room of your office. Now you're going into the third room of your office. And I went out in the spirit, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, this will be the last room in this office. And he's referring to the pastor's office. Amen. See, in each office or in each phase there's rooms. In other words, you'll progress through phases of ministry. If you're called to the ministry, I'm talking about those called to ministry, you'll progress through phases of ministry, but you'll also progress in that phase from room to room. You'll progress through different rooms. Well, and phase two was pastoring. Amen. And he said, you've succeeded at phase two. That's what he said to me in April of 2018. You've succeeded in phase two. According to that statement. So I've not only, remember he said, 1-2, 1-2, you've been in 1-2 room of your office. Notice, room of your office. You've been in 1-2 room of your office. Now you're going into the third room of your office. That's in phase two. And he said, that the Lord said to me, then that's the last room in that office. Amen. Amen. And then the Lord said, 8 years later. So I was in that room for 8 years. You've succeeded in phase two. That's the way he said it. You succeeded at phase two. Well, interesting. Now that was April of last year. Now January of this year, just Saturday night before a service, January 26th, the Lord said to me, now you can go back in. Now, I was praying in the Spirit for the Sunday morning service, and what I just shared with you about the Lord dealing with me about phases and rooms and everything flashed before me, and how he reminded me of the Dr. Frayne prophesied to me, and I believe it was in 2011, and said, I believe, I could be wrong about that. I might be 2008, but he said to me, he said, you've had miracles when you were on the road before, and he said, now you're going to go back into that. And he said, it's going to start here a little and there a little, and it's going to keep increasing. And the Lord reminded me of that when I was praying on Saturday night, January 16th this year. And the Lord reminded me of that, and he said to me that you can go back in now. You can go back in to what I told you to pull out of. Because remember I said we started moving into some things, and all hell broke loose. And so what he was talking about is what he had told me to pull back out of. Because when all hell broke loose, I said, Lord, what is going on? He said, you've gotten into a place that you're not spiritually mature enough yet to operate in. I mean, I said, what do I do? And he said, pull back. Now, what we were doing is operating over in a further degree of the prophet's office in the revelation gifts. I told you about healing lines we would get in, and every single person in the healing line, if the anointing didn't go into them, I could tell them why. In fact, I've done it. Did it? The strongest it ever got was down in Lubbock, Texas one time. Every person, if the anointing didn't go in, I'd know why. And whenever I'd know why, I could tell them why, and they could make an adjustment. The anointing would go in, and they'd get healed right on the spot. Amen. That's operating in revelation gifts. Amen. So we were operating in that real strong. It's got stronger and stronger and stronger. In fact, to be honest, some of the things you know, you just didn't want to know. But the devil hates that. It pulls the wraps off of his deception and stuff in people's lives, and he hates that. And so he came for that. And the Lord said, you pressed in before you were ready. Pull back. Pull back out of that. So I was glad to. I mean, not out of unbelief, because the Lord said pull back. So I'm like, okay, I'm back. I'm back. I'm out of here. Well, I wasn't ready for it. You can, because of zeal or pressing in spiritual things, get into things ahead before you're ready. I'm talking about ministry things. So he told me to pull back into that. Pull out of that place of revelation. And he was talking about a restoration when he said, you can go back into that now. This is just January here. You can go back in there now. He's talking about a restoration of that flow of the revelation gifts in the prophet's office, really. And I'm speaking, when I say me, I'm speaking really for Pastor Debbie and I, because we both have this on our lives. And so I knew what he was talking about, and I knew in my spirit what he was saying. He's saying, you're ready for that. You've matured spiritually. You're ready for what gets thrown at you. Well, back in the same month of January, we were out in California, and I hadn't had a spiritual attack like I came under in January in California ever since back in 2000, basically. I mean, dear God. You just don't even feel saved. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, bam, bam, buffeting. Just bam, thoughts. I wanted to crawl in a hole and hide. I didn't want to be seen because it was intense. I asked Debbie, I said, pray for me. I said, dear God, this is crazy. Well, I got on top of that very night. And what used to, back there in 2000, took me 2 years to get on top of. I did it in about 2 hours or whatever it was. Amen. Got on top of that. Amen. No, I'm not going back there. Amen. The devil can tribulate. I'm going to enjoy my salvation. Amen. Amen. But anyway, so really, so what I have been, when the Lord said you can go back in, now I'm talking to you about what I'm contending for now in faith. I mean, if I wake up in the morning, and this is I barely ever wake up in the morning except the very first thing that comes out of my mouth before my eyes are open, I will say this, Father, I want to thank you for a greater manifestation of the revelation gifts. The Spirit is seeing and knowing to come into manifestation in a greater way in this ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. That includes, the spirit of seeing and knowing includes the revelation gift, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, and word of knowledge. And I contend for that, the visions that belong to this era, the revelations of the word that come through the prophet's office belongs to this era. I contend for that. And I'll say those kinds of things. I thank you, Father, for insight into mysteries and secrets. Give us a wise and understanding heart. I can almost say it the same way every time because it just comes boiling out of my spirit. And it's because God's got us on an assignment to get back into some things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I had a dream just, what night did I tell you that? That was Wednesday night or something. I woke up and I told her about it, that about the president's office again. That's one of the things God's given us as an assignment. In fact, he clarified in more recent times that he said, I've made you a watchman over the office of president of the United States. I've made you a watchman. Talking about in the spirit, making a watchman in the spirit. Well, I'd never had him tell me that before, but you've been around. You've heard all the stories. I mean, we could stand here for the next 2 hours and tell stories about how the Spirit is manifested in our life and ministry on behalf of that office. I never thought about it in the way he said it in more recent time. I've made you a watchman over the president's office, but it clarified some things.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes. Amen. That's part of this office, part of the assignment on this office. And so, the other night, I woke up. I usually do wake up after about 5 hours of sleep. I usually wake up and pray for anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, not very seldom, but then I'll fall back asleep. And there have been times after that kind of praying, you have spiritual dreams. Not every night by a long shot. Somebody's having spiritual dreams every night, watch out for them because that's not scriptural. But some from time to time. And the other night, I think it was Wednesday night maybe, I had a dream. And our president's on top of something that was messed up. Anybody ever heard of the Uranium One deal?
Yes, sir.
That agreement with Putin for 20% of our uranium? Just know our president has checkmated him.
Amen.
Just know that.
Amen.
Just know that. Our president has checkmated him. I saw it in the dream. The Lord showed me in the dream. And when in the dream, whenever I saw it, I burst into laughter in the dream. I burst into laughter and I woke up laughing in the spirit. Because we got it.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot happening behind the scenes. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Anyway, but see, that's part of the manifestations in this office. Spiritual revelations concerning the plans of God for the body of Christ, and one of the things he's made me a watchman over is the president's office. Hallelujah. So I've been calling for the fullness of the Spirit of seeing and knowing. That's visions and revelations. Remember, Paul said, I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He wasn't, he was saying, I will now tell you about visions and revelations of the Lord. The Lord had moved him into that place in his ministry where he had, notice two things, visions and revelations of the Lord. Visions and revelation. Visions have to do with the gift of discerning the Spirit, seeing into the spirit realm, find out what's happening in the spirit realm. And then revelations could be included in that, but also revelation of the Word. Revelation of the Word. Now, you following me? The Lord has had me on both of those. He's been saying, I call for the fullness of the Spirit of seeing and knowing, because the Lord said you can go back into that now. I said, the Lord said I can go back into that now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. It makes some people mad, makes some people glad. I've already had some people mad here at the church because of things that the Lord's revealed. Well, I guess the wraps got pulled off. See, that's how you protect a church, by gifts of the Spirit. Now, this includes manifestations of the Spirit. It includes these revelation gifts. And it includes revelation of the Word. Now, listen very carefully. You out there? I'll get to the revelations of the Word first, but I mean in a moment, but the visions and revelations are not just, they are, the plan of God for visions and revelations is to, How much time can I take? I don't want to take too much time. My wife said don't take too long tonight, so I got to submit to my wife. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Something like that. Amen. But I'm trying not to take too much time here. The visions that Brother Hagin had brought further understanding of what has already been written in the New Testament. Jesus said to him, remember one time, I'm going to talk to you about devils and demons and evil spirits and our and believers' authority over them. Well, the whole revelation of the believer's authority came to him, and he didn't even believe it himself when Jesus said it to him. And Jesus said, in the vision, I'll give you four references. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. And so now we have such understanding of the authority of the believer because of that vision. That came in a vision. Well, how about the vision where Jesus talked to him about evil spirits and, the prophet's office itself. The revelation he got about some of those things. Well, there's things that we understand better because of this. Now, you know, there's a lot of people claiming to having visions and revelations, but it's not legitimate. We're not talking about that. But when it comes to these kinds of manifestations, it takes great wisdom to steward them properly. What do we say? When do we say it? How much do we say? You understand? So I've been claiming not only the greater manifestation of these things, but wisdom that's needed to steward these manifestations properly so that it edifies and builds up the work of God, because that's God's plan, is to build up the church. Amen? And I just say, Father, thank you that in each case I'll know what to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, then what about the revelations? Pastor Nancy in Russia, some of you might have watched live stream on that. I don't know if you saw it, but she said, I pray, I call for the revelations that belong to this era to be given to people in this era that are moving with this era. And then she prophesied to me, and she said, doors. She pulled me out and prophesied. She prophesied to Pastor Debbie as well. But I'm talking about this particular one. Doors, doors, doors. Large openings to large rooms of revelation. Say revelation. Revelation. Revelation that is necessary. These rooms have reserve signs on the door. These rooms of revelation have reserve signs on the door, for they're reserved for this last day era. No one else, no previous generation, could access these rooms because they were assigned to this last day era. And then she said, you're invited in. You're invited in. And as far as you go into that room is determined by you, not by the Father, because He's opened the door to you. Now go in and access as much as you have faith for. That, it's precious to me. And I'll tell you why. This is talking about revelations of the Word. Revelations of the Word. Each era has a message that God emphasizes in that era. Yeah. Amen. When Martin Luther stood up, it was by grace through faith. The just shall live by faith, you know. Salvation is not by works or joining the church, so forth and so on. Then there came a holiness revival, and the emphasis was holy living. Then there came the healing revival. The Pentecostal revival, and the emphasis was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then the healing revival, the emphasis, then the message was divine healing. Then the charismatic revival, the emphasis and message was the gifts of the Spirit. Isn't that right? And then the Word of Faith teaching revival, which the emphasis was teaching on the subject of faith, living the just shall live by faith. And now this one has got a message that needs to be emphasized. And we need to know what that message is. Does that make sense? So the Lord's inviting us, as this ministry, He's inviting us to participate in getting that message clear and communicating it and preaching and teaching it. Amen. 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 Now, it's a message, I believe, one of our parts, is the move of the Spirit and using our faith to get into it. Not saying, Lord, we believe we received three words of knowledge tonight and one gift of healing. And no, you can't do that. But use our faith to get into the Spirit where those things will manifest as He wills. A lot of believers aren't getting into this. A lot of church services, they're not getting into the Spirit. And it takes a spirit of faith to do that. Smith Wigglesworth described it this way. He said, I use all the faith I have and bombard heaven with all the faith I have. And then he said, heaven bombards me with the faith it has. And when that happens, he said, I leave the earth and go up into heaven. And he said, I can do things I couldn't do before.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. That's going to mark this era.
Amen.
People doing that's going to mark this era.
Amen.
I'll be honest, some of this is using your faith to get into the Spirit, and then the manifestation of special faith comes into manifestation.
Amen.
That's exactly what Smith Wigglesworth was talking about. But if we don't use all the faith we have to get into the Spirit, we'll not see some of these things manifest.
Yeah.
Now, that's part of the revelation we're to carry to this era. Another part of it is, and the Spirit of faith is involved with that, but another part of it is something that the Lord said to me way back before we came to pastor. He said, greater revelation is coming, or further revelation. I think the way he said it is further revelation is coming concerning the authority of the believer. God has begun to communicate part of that revelation. That revelation has begun to come to me. I'm not saying I'm the only one. I have bounced it off. Brother Brian was there one time. I bounced it off of Pastor Edwin Anderson. You were there whenever I did it. I said, Pastor Anderson, and I told him what the Lord said. And I said, here's the further revelation. Because I respect senior ministers. I believe if anything's of God, it can be judged by more mature senior ministers who have, they're seasoned, they're proven, they're not flakes, they're not, you know, fly-by-nights and Johnny-come-latelys and parking lot prophets, you know what I mean? They're for real. Solid as the day is long, you know. And so I go to those, and I've been bouncing some of this off of them. And I said, I believe God's begun to communicate to me part of this revelation when he said, further revelation concerning the authority of the believer. And I began to talk to him about what it was. I said, we understand we have authority over the devil, and that revelation has come to the body of Christ, and to a degree the body has accepted it. Some don't know anything about it, but you understand. There never has been everybody receive everything. I mean, there's still people that don't believe by grace through faith. But anyway, so I said, and I began to tell Pastor Anderson, I said, now, and I'm not trying to drop his name to try to get credibility. I'm just simply mentioning that I'm doing this. And I said, here's what the Lord's showing me. I said, we know we have authority over the devil. I said, but what the Lord's showing me is we have authority at the throne of grace, not over God. How many of you know we have authority over demons? But not over God. We don't have authority over God. But standing with him. We have authority to stand before him and make our claim. And plead our case. And you know, that really has to do with the blood. We've shared some about the blood here recently. That gives us that kind of standing. And I shared for, I don't know, Brother Brian, how long? 10 minutes or less? Maybe less than 10 or 15 minutes with Pastor Anderson. And he goes, yep. He said, I think you're seeing something.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I said, well, I want to bounce it off of people. I said, if this needs to have holes shot through it, shoot holes through it.
Amen.
If it can't stand the scrutiny of the word, somebody else's understanding of the word, well, then it ain't worth much if it can't stand up to somebody's scrutiny. You know, if you can't share anybody with any other senior member of the body of Christ, the revelation you're getting, then it probably isn't worth much. Anyway, but we're to take some of these things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, Pastor Nancy has ministered some things to Pastor Debbie and I about our ministry, and these are the things we're taking to the Father at the throne of grace, and I want you to recruit you to get in on this. That he said, he's been telling us our ministry is being enlarged. And he's been saying for us to lay hold of what he's laid hold of us for. And the place that heaven is giving us is to be enlarged now. With a larger ministry, greater fruit. These are different ways Pastor Nancy has ministered it to us in different ways at different times. Larger ministry, greater fruit, a greater voice in the body of Christ. And one time she said, a greater sword. In other words, and then she said, that sword will go into the spirit realm and cut some things and deal with some things. And But she said a greater sword. Well, then we're saying that in our prayer time. We want you to begin to agree with us as gem partners on this. Of some things we're laying hold of. Hallelujah. And so, but these revelations, we need, I got into it a little bit out in Bible school in March about the standing we have at the throne of grace. Very little of it. And you could tell as soon as I did, there was an unction on it. We need opportunities to get this revelation preached out. Because like Brother Hagin's message, it eventually got into the printed page and got out in different ways. We need to get it into these different forms to where it can begin to get out to the body of Christ. Amen. Because, you know, that's the mandate, is to get the message out. Brother Hagin said he used to go down and he'd leave a series of meetings. He'd get down the road crying, "Lord, help me get this message out. I got to get this message out." Amen. And eventually God showed him different ways, printed page, radio, different things to get the message out. And that's how his ministry grew so much. It's not about the ministry growing, it's about the message getting out. Amen. Our partners, our purpose for these partner meetings is not to get money in. It's to get the message out. You're helping us get the message out. We didn't come to receive an offering tonight. We came to get your agreement. Hallelujah. And so, how many of you got that what Pastor Nancy mentioned, these doors are, that they've been reserved for this area, but we're amongst others, I'm sure there's others, that God's inviting us to come in and get these revelations. Now, these revelations are not, he's not inviting us to come in through, now don't misunderstand me, we should meditate on the Word, we should study the Word, and we do. But these are revelations that'll be given through going through a door in the Spirit. And that's exactly what happens in the prophet's office. So you have to understand that. Maybe we can get into, you know, more of that as we go. That's another time. Hallelujah. Can you see what we're talking about? And so I speak to doors, what I do in my prayer life. I want you to agree with us on this. Doors of utterance, and command them to open to the larger body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we call for the manifestation of favor so that doors of utterance open to us for the traveling ministry. Amen. We speak to the angels that are assigned to get us through this door and into the fullness of phase three. See, we're in phase three, but we're not in the fullness of it. Speak to the angels that are assigned to get us through this door and into the fullness of phase three. And we say to them, you go and you bring road meetings to us. You're released to go and now bring the will of God to pass in this third phase. I hope I'm not going too fast. I know you're trying to write some of these things down. But bring those divine contacts, those spiritual connections, and those open doors for us to go and get this message out. We've preached the spirit of faith. The strongest I've ever preached it was in Pastor Craig Field's church in Toronto, Canada, Mississauga. I mean, preach like a wild man. I'm almost standing beside myself, looking at myself, like, who are you? You know, just wild. And he still talks about that service. Preached it in Russia. And it had an impact. This message, it comes out, when I get on the spirit of faith, I just preached on it in Bible school in World Harvest for a week. Well, I didn't preach every day, but three days, I believe, on the spirit of faith. And I mean, the power would fall. And I keep telling people, when I get on this message, there's a stronger anointing on that. And it ushers in the move of the Spirit. Amen. So, but we want more doors to open. Amen. So you're in agreement with us on that? These are things we're asking you to agree with us on. And so that's what we're asking for, and if you got those things written down, are these things, I think it's being recorded, maybe you can get this, and you can capture that better if you didn't quite get it written down like you want. But anyway, let's switch gears a little bit. We'll end with some prayer time, but let's switch gears a little bit. Would that be all right? Let's talk about partnership. And when you partner with a ministry, you're actually... you have some rights and some, you have a share in everything God's doing in that ministry. Let's go over to the book of Philippians. And in order to be more brief here on this, I'm just going to part of these things we were going to share. I was going to share more, but I took longer on that part than I intended. Philippians chapter number 1. Let's look here at verse number... let's just read verse 3, starting in verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all. Paul was Southern, y'all. Making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Notice that, for your fellowship in the gospel. He said, when I go to prayer, he said, I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel. Now, that just doesn't mean much in the King James, but some of these other translations are amazing. Listen to the Rotherham translation. He said he was thanking God on account of their contribution under the glad message. He used the word in the Rotherham contribution rather than fellowship. RSV, I'm thankful for your partnership in the gospel. Amplified, your sympathetic cooperation and contributions and partnership in advancing the good news, the gospel from the first day you heard it until now. So Amplified often, you know, catches a lot of the meaning, puts it in all into one verse. But he said, the Amplified, that you're sympathetic. He's thankful for their sympathetic cooperation and contribution and partnership in advancing the good news from the first day until now. So they didn't do it once. They did it over and over again. So when you look up this word in the King James, it says fellowship in verse 5. When you look up the word fellowship, you find that these other translations translate it more accurately. Fellowship is talking about partnership. And we're going to look at this in Philippians briefly. In fact, you could go up to the top of your, you know, the Bible, each of these books has, like mine here says, the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Philippians. You could go up and circle the word epistle here in this particular case, circle the word epistle, draw a line up and write the word partner letter. Because that's literally what Philippians is. It's a letter to his partners that were supporting his ministry. Now we know that's not a stretch of what he's saying here, because all you got to do is read the fourth chapter of Philippians. And you'll see, as we'll get over there, you'll see that he was referring to them contributing financially once and again. In other words, they didn't just do it once. Here he mentioned it also. You did it from the first day until now. They contributed financially to help his ministry. Amen. So the book of Philippians is really a partner letter to his partners in the ministry. And so in the fourth chapter, well, actually in verse 4 and 5, let's stay in chapter 1, Paul says that in prayer, notice how he says this in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship and or your partnership in the gospel. So he's saying in prayer, he called upon their partnership with him. He mentioned that to God, didn't he? He mentioned their partnership to God. So there are things that Paul said, I can get for you because of your partnership. There are things I can pray for you because of your partnership with me. Amen. And that's why the word fellowship is not necessarily a bad word. It's just not the full meaning. Fellowship means a two-way thing. If you and I sit in fellowship over the things of God, you share out of your heart, and then I share out of my heart, and we just go back and forth, you know. That's called fellowship. When it's a one-way thing, it's called ministry. But two-way thing is fellowship. We're just, you know, he's just enjoying the things of God together. Well, Paul is saying that their ministry, their contribution to the gospel was their, it was a partnership where they were contributing, but he was saying they weren't just contributing, they were also getting something back. Amen. And that's what I want to look at before we close here tonight. Fellowship means a mutual sharing. The word sharing is used in some of these other translations. It's a two-way street, not a one-way street. Partnership is not a one-way street. That's what he's saying here. It's sharing, the partners were sharing of their substance, of their increase with Paul's ministry. But keep on reading here. Notice what he said, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's in a setting we don't normally put it in, but it's in the context of partnership, that verse. But verse 7, look at this. "Even it is meet for me to think this of you all." I told you he was Southern. "You all. Because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all," that's the third y'all, "are partakers of my grace." Whoa! So he said they were in partnership, bringing of their finances and faith and prayer, whatever they were doing. And he said, but they were sharing together in his grace. In his grace. In other words, that's what they were getting back. The grace that was on his life, out there preaching the gospel, got on them. Now, what on earth is that grace? Without taking the time to go all through it, basically, he mentioned it to a degree here, and we'll look at it. But if you just write these verses down, Romans 15:29 and Romans 1:16-17, the Bible says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation." Amen. And then in Romans 15:19, he talks about, when I get there, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. So when he says, "I'm out there preaching the gospel," he said, that gospel message has a blessing on it, and it's got power in it. Amen. The blessing on it is the blessing of Abraham. And the power on it is the power of God unto salvation, healing, deliverance. And so he's saying, whenever he said here, look at verse 7 again, "I have you in my heart, this is both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace." In other words, the grace that was on me to defend the gospel out there, the grace that was on me to confirm the gospel out there. He said, you're a partaker of that because you're partners with it. Now, what does that mean, defense and confirmation of the gospel? Think about it. Both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. So when he said defense, he's talking about everything that would happen to defend him while he was out there preaching the gospel. That could include deliverance out of the hands of wicked men. That could include power to cause the supply to come in order to propagate it. That could include angelic ministry to get him out of jail. That could include being raised from the dead when he was stoned to death. Every resource that heaven supplied him to preach the gospel, Paul said, it all belongs to you. Amen. You can have that same delivering power in your life because you're partnering with me to get this gospel out. And he said, the confirmation, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. That word confirmation is the same word translated confirmation. It's in Mark chapter number 16. How many of you remember where he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel? Verse 20, and these signs will follow them that believe. That's in that passage. Confirmation is used there. And in Hebrews chapter 2, where he talks about signs and wonders following the gospel, in Hebrews 2:3-4. Both of those passages talk about the signs and wonders to confirm the gospel. You following me? And here he used that same word. He's saying that the whatever came against me, the power that followed the message I preached to confirm the gospel, he said, you're a partaker of that grace in your life. In other words, because of their partnership, what happened to him to help him defend and confirm the gospel, he said that all that power is available to you, my partners. Whoa. Because of their contribution and their oneness with him in it. Oh, I don't know if you can handle that. It's a two-way street. It looks like people say, well, you know, the ministry is just getting the funds. But in God's eyes, God's saying, you are all that's available for that minister to get out there and preach that gospel. It's available to every one of his partners. And notice what he said, both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. Well, think about the time he was writing to the Philippians. The Philippians knew about him being in a Philippian jail. Where they prayed and sang praises and the power fell. And got him out of there. They knew about Paul going into jail in Philippi. And when he was in bonds in jail, he prayed the power down, and they praised the power down. And that power, he said, that delivered them is available to all our partners to get them out of whatever the devil's trying to do in their lives. Hallelujah. So Paul called on that partnership and blessed them and spoke blessing over them, that power works for all my partners, that power that gets them out of whatever the devil tries to trap them in, that power that tries to back them out of the will of God for their lives, tries to keep them broke, tries to keep them bound. Paul said, I bless my partners with that power that's on me. And he said, I make mention of that in my prayer life. That's what he mentioned there in verse 4 and 5. I make mention of you in my prayers for your, I make mention of your, basically he's saying of your partnership. I keep telling God about your partnership and how everything that's on us out here to defend the gospel, it all comes on them. And I keep mentioning, God, I thank you for the power in their lives. And that's why, this right here is why God stirred me up to begin to pray more for our partners and to bless them with this. Amen. I thank you, Father, the same signs and wonders anointing that's on us out here on the road, that it comes on our partners. I thank you for signs and wonders and miraculous deliverances. And I thank you, Father, for supply. And I thank you for they're kept in spirit, soul, and body. They're sound in spirit, soul, and body. Because God kept Paul sound in body so he could keep preaching the gospel. Kept him strong. That's why he said in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said that power keeps coming on me to get me back up from the dead, get me out of jail, get me out of whatever the devil's trying to do to stop the gospel. I say that power's in me to make me strong, and I say the partners get the same blessing. And he blessed them with that and spoke that over them. Hallelujah. Does that help you? We need to be in faith about this. Everything we do, we ought to do it in faith. If we're partners, we ought to do it in faith. You know, whenever somebody gets healed out on the road, you get that gets marked down to your credit. Somebody gets restored back to fellowship with God, gets marked down to your credit. There's that kind of supply on the gospel. The gospel is already blessed. It's already supplied. God will back it up. He will confirm it. He will defend it. He will deliver people who preach it. He will supply their need. He will keep them strong. He will do what he's got to do. Just keep them out there preaching that gospel, especially if they stay in faith. And anybody that's partnering with them that sows their seed to help them do that, that same power is available to them. Now go over to Philippians 4. We gotta not go too long here. Praise the Lord. Paul mentions their partnership more specifically. He starts in verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. We talked about that this morning. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. In other words, circumstances. State means circumstances. I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, how to do that. He said that. How to do that. How can I do that? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you've well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Communicate means share. He's talking about of their finances. But now you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Now he's actually getting specific, giving and receiving. Notice it's not just giving. We said partnership is a two-way thing. So it's giving and receiving. But even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, he's talking about financial assistance, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Oh, I there's so much here. We can't get this all out in one service. Fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need. Remember this morning, supply and keep on supplying. All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now here's what I wanted you to see. Paul could have very easily, in verse 19 said, he could have said, but God shall supply all your need. But he didn't. He said, my God. In other words, the one who's out here defending me, supplying me, the one who's out here getting me out of jail, the one who's out here confirming this message with signs following, the one who's getting people saved, the one who's working through us to defend and confirm the gospel and to destroy yokes and do all that's happening out here on the road, he said, that's my God. He's working for me like that. And he said, my God shall work for you that way too. Why? Because of their partnership. He didn't say God. He said, my God. In other words, he's saying, just like that blessing and power is working through me out here in this ministry, that's the same God, because you're in partnership with me out here. He's working for you in the same way. Supplying your needs, delivering you, providing for you, guiding you, protecting you, doing all that he does for me. Hallelujah. How many of you know we all have the Great Commission? We either go or send somebody. Amen. Pastor Nancy, I'm going to look forward to talking to her about it here in a couple weeks, but she said next year God's dealing with her to go overseas more. Well, I just knew instantly what that meant. Pastor Debbie and I are going overseas more next year because God spoke to me. Don't know how much I've said publicly, but God spoke to me about, you know, God putting together a team. We're going. So, but, well, then whatever God does through us, that we either are to go in the Great Commission, we're either to go or send somebody else. We really should think teamwork in getting people to God. Isn't that right? And so that's the response. The Great Commission is the responsibility of every one of us as believers. And we've got to either do our part to go or do our part to send somebody. And when we help somebody else go by partnering with their ministry financially and in prayer and in everything like we're talking about, every life that is delivered out there is put to our account. And God lays it up to our account as much as the one who went. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, did you get anything out of that?
Yes, sir.
That signs and wonders anointing is working for you if you mix your faith with it. That's why we're teaching on these things tonight, to mix your faith with these things.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, these things get criticized. There are a multitude of people that if they heard what I was preaching tonight, they just criticize it until the sun comes up in the morning. They just get so mad. But I like what Richard Roberts said one time. He said, this draws out the critics, but he said, nobody ever built a statue to a critic. In other words, critics don't change history. They don't, come on now, they just sort of fade away. Hallelujah. Smith Wigglesworth, well, actually, he might have got it from Smith Wigglesworth, but let me get this right. Dr. Summerall made this statement. He said, every revival funds itself. Has a funding. And so whatever God's doing in this era, those who God's using in this era have a funding. And that includes anybody that's partnering with it. God has obligated himself to fund what he wants to do. So to get in on that funding, get in on what God's doing, either by going, doing your part, if you're called to the fivefold, or sending somebody else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, the last verse we'll go to here is 1 Samuel 30. I've got to share 1 Samuel 30. Look with me at 1 Samuel. This is a partnership verse. We'll just look at verses 24 and 25, but I'll give you the context. This was David was out on a military campaign. He left his hometown, which at this time was Ziklag. And while he was out on the military campaign, I believe it was the Amalekites, was it? Somebody, anyway. They came and destroyed Ziklag, took all the goods and the wives and children. And when David got home, they Everybody was gone. The city was destroyed. Well, he sought the Lord. People talked about stoning David. But he sought the Lord, and the Lord said, go after him, and you'll recover it all. And he pursued in verse number 10. And it said there that there were some who were so faint that they, in verse number 10, they could not go over the brook Baser. And so they let some of the people back there to stay with some of the stuff while the rest of them went on and finished the military campaign. And they did. They recovered everything. And look at verse number 18. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And he rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking of them. Verse 19 at the end, David recovered all. Now go down to verse 24. And it says, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his, because let me tell you what happened. Some of the men that went all the way and finished the campaign came back to the ones who were staying by the stuff at the brook and said, now, we're not going to give you all everything we went and captured. We're going to keep it because you didn't go with us. And David heard it and he said this, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goes down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarries by the stuff. They shall part alike. Verse 25, and it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel until this day. What's that saying? The people that stayed back and kept the stuff, you know, take care of the luggage there where they had to drop it. He said, whenever somebody else goes on out and takes a victory, whenever a victory is won, the people that stayed by the stuff, stayed by the house, stayed and kept the home fires burning, you know, kept the local church called Spirit of Faith Family Church going. Oh, I did it. I just brought it home, didn't I? The victory in the harvest is theirs to share as well as those who were out on the front lines. Those who sow to make it possible for them to go, they get an equal inheritance. Those who partner with the gospel share in every blessing and every reward that the minister receives for out there being the one preaching it. In God's eyes, everybody gets the credit. Amen. Maybe in men's eyes, only a few get the credit, but not in God's eyes. And not in spiritual people's eyes either. Praise God. How many of you know whenever you allow your earthly goods to be sown into whatever is happening in taking ground for the kingdom of God, then God, heaven rewards you both financially and eternally for that. You receive the blessing and get the same reward. Can you see that? Well, there's a little more, but we'll stop right there. I like that passage. Don't you like that passage? I just wanted to encourage you. We're not even receiving an offering tonight. I just wanted to encourage you because if you're going to do this, you may as well do it in faith. You may as well. That's what we're just here, just feeding your faith, encouraging you. There's more things coming up. I believe next year is going to be a pretty full year. So we got to get our house done. We got to finish that. But there's things that exciting things are ahead. Praise the Lord. Did that help you? Did you get anything out of that?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.